If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 90 Time, the game, 10 o'clock hour on a Sunday morning. John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios. And you heard in the first hour what I'm talking about is we could disagree without being disagreed, but it's okay. I respect everybody's opinion in terms of the fact that they have one. I may not agree with it, but I don't hide my opinions. I don't shade mine either. But let me start the hour by saying we're here till 12:30 to take your calls at 404-726-0929. You are a guest, not a caller. And you can weigh in on any of the topics here. We have a little game going on that I'll get to in a moment about yes or no game. Hawks last night with a brutally hard loss where they came from 18 down against the Knicks to take the lead with 49 seconds to go and gagged it at the end on a bad turnover. And they've lost six in a row. They haven't won since Trae Young came back. They're 2-10 in their last 12. 5-11 at home. They just had an 0-5 homestand. This is just not working. And maybe today we hear about Kristaps Porzingis and his health, his heart, and get an update on that. But if this isn't going to work for Trae Young, with Trae Young, it's not fair to Trae. It's not fair to us. It's not fair to the franchise. It kills me to say that I think maybe it's time before the February 6th trade deadline that the Hawks really start thinking about trading Trae. Let's see if you agree with that. It's playoff week. I can't wait. Wednesday night, the Cotton Bowl kicks it off with Miami and Ohio State. And then the Thursday triple header, you know, with the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. I don't see a clear favorite. I see two teams that I think are probably the longer shots in Ole Miss and Alabama. I only say that, Alabama fans, because I don't know which Alabama team is showing up. You tell me. I don't know that you can. So, but it wouldn't shock me if I think the only surprise team, if Ole Miss won the title and they were able to rally around Pete Golding, if Ole Miss won the title, I think that would be the one surprise I would have here, okay? But I'm wondering about your favorite. And, of course, the rest of it's all about the Falcons, who play coming up on Monday Night Football against the Rams tomorrow night. But we have a triple header today. Begins at 12:30, coverage of a really big game between the Seahawks and the Panthers. Then we go to the Fernando Mendoza Bowl between the Giants and the Raiders, both 2-13 on the year, and the number one pick is on the line there. And then the Bears and Niners, big game in San Francisco tonight between the Bears and the Niners. All right, so that's a triple header. So back to this just for a second here, because I want to, if you're hanging on, you'll get on the air. I just want to reestablish this. I've talking about Arthur Blank. You know, we're not shying away from any of the big topics here. There's been a lot of chatter here, and most everybody is on the opposite side of me, which is fine. I'm apparently, based on my ex, based on my Facebook, which is just my name, JohnFricke, at John Fricke, or just John Fricke on Facebook, and the calls that I'm getting, I am a minority here in thinking that when it comes to the three issues about Arthur Blank, one, that he's a crappy owner, two, that he doesn't want to win, and three, that he needs to sell the team in order for the team to win. Okay, those three things, crappy owner, doesn't want to win, needs to sell the team. None of those are true. Okay, I think none of those are true. But I think I'm in the minority here. And, you know, my point is, again, I do have one advantage in terms of this is that I've met the man on multiple occasions. I've shaken his hand. I've looked him in the eye. I've had conversations with him. So I know him on a slightly different level than most people do because I've had access to him over the years. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's invited me to his house for dinner. Though, if Mr. Blank, if you want to invite me to your house for dinner, you know how to get a hold of me. Have David Bassidy ring me up and say, Mr. Blank wants you to come for dinner. I'm there. I'll be happy to do that. Boy, what a weasel move that is, huh? Anyway, but you can't say he doesn't want to win. It's shy. I mean, the man wants to win in the worst way. I just told you a couple of reasons. He wants to be able to be Vince McMahon strutting in because Bob Kraft's got two fistfuls of rings. He hates that. The man is competitive, okay? He wants that ring. 28-3 gnaws at him in a way that it can't possibly gnaw at us. And the other thing to keep in mind is as we go through this process here with this consulting firm or whatever, and the evaluation that's going to take a place at the end of the year and whatever, when we talk about whether or not Kirk Cousins is going to be back, and I have this little game going on, will they be back, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts? I said Kirk Cousins is not going to be back, but I could be wrong about that. Kirk Cousins could well be back, even at $57.5 million on the cap, because we don't know. We don't know how badly Michael Penix Jr. is hurt. Are they looking at Michael Penix because they're not telling us because they don't have to and they're not. And so is he not going to be available for training? Forget about OTAs. Is he not going to be available for training camp? He's not making training camp. Is he not going to be available for the preseason? He's not going to be here for the preseason. Is he going to be available for the season opener? That's not going to happen. Is he going to be available for the middle of the year? I don't know. We don't know. Is his career over? I have no idea. You have no idea. They're not telling us. So anybody in the media, again, bloggers, writers, TV people, talk show hosts, and I don't care. I'll talk about my own guys, right? You know, it doesn't matter if it's Mike Bell or Steak or, you know, if it's Mike Johnson or Squid or Carl or anybody that's on the air here or Joe Patrick, who cover the team, or if it's D-Led or if it's, you know, Will McFadden from Falcons.com or if it's anybody from that, you know, AAA sports radio station up the street. It doesn't matter who it is. If one of those folks, anybody that supposedly is in the know, says to you or says online or repeats to you that they know what's going to happen in Flowery Branch, you can laugh at them because they're full of crap. Wes Durham doesn't know. Dave Archer doesn't know. And the reason they don't know is nobody's going to talk to them. Arch might be the one guy because Arch has access in a different way than anybody else does. But Arch would never betray that anyway, and I don't even know that he has that access. You know, when you're a longtime starting quarterback of the team and you know everybody and you've known everybody for 100 years and you're so close to the team, plus Arch would never break a vow. And so he might be the one guy, you know. But even then, I'm not sure he has access because they're so tight. Arch will probably tell you, yeah, I don't even have access. If Dave Archer does not have access, ain't nobody got access. And even if he does have access, he still can't know what the final result is going to be here, okay? So we're all just guessing. And so, I mean, they could bring Kirk Cousins back. Hell, they could fire Fontenot. They could fire Raheem. They could get rid of Kirk. They could say, you know, we're not paying. I don't know. Beats me. We're just taking a guess here. Let's go to Philip here. He's on with John. Philip, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty.
All right, put Philip on hold here. He can clear that up, and we'll see. He's got something else going on there. And then we'll get to who's next here. Let's go to Dexter. I don't know, Dexter. Philip was trying to order through the, you know, get that Popeye's breakfast sandwich or something. I have no idea. Hey, Dexter.
What up, John? Hey, John. Hey, what game that was when Vic went when he beat Green Bay after that game? Didn't they go to Philadelphia for the NFC Championship?
Yeah, they played in how many NFC championships have they played in? Yeah, played in the well, and then you know, of course they beat Minnesota in that incredible game, right? But
right.
They've been to the point is of course the franchise has been to two Super Bowls and
right
and
right.
And, had
right.
And by the way, probably should have gone to four. I think that's if that's your case, I think that's a fair assessment because Lord, everybody likes to talk about 28-3, but 17-0 was a real thing here, you know.
Exactly. So, who was the owner when Vic went to Philadelphia for the NFC Championship? Was it Blank?
So, let's talk about this, about Arthur Blank. Do you
right,
think...
I like Blank. Right,
so,
I mean, I ain't
so,
got nothing
so let's
to
go
Blank.
Through his history here. And okay. Do you, so, but the question... So, it begs the question here, right? You go
right,
through the history
right.
of Arthur Blank. I believe,
right.
okay, Dexter, that right with Ted Turner, he is... the greatest owner in Atlanta sports history.
Yes,
those
sir.
Are the two best owners, okay,
yes,
that, in my
sir.
Opinion. Okay, that's yes, just sir. My opinion. People could disagree. They could say it was Rankin Smith, or they could say it was the Atlanta
no.
Spirit, or they could say it was, you
no.
know, Tom Cousins.
No.
They could say whatever they want to say. To me, those are the two preeminent owners in the history of Atlanta sports. Do you think the man wants to win or not?
Heck yeah, he want to win, man. That man don't take his time to walk down on that field to watch the game. If we're in a crucial game at the end, he ain't down there just to be shaking people's hands. He down there watching, want to win. I see that all the time. So I wanted to clear that up about Blank. Blank ain't going nowhere. I like Blank.
Well,
Blank
ain't
going nowhere.
Yeah, of course you're not going to sell the team. All right. Real quick, Dexter, do you want to play the game?
What game?
Yes or no. Will they be back?
Who? Everybody, I think, for Zach and Kurt.
Well, Zach's not on the list. Terry Fontenot, yes or no, he will be back.
Fontenot, yeah.
Okay, Reem, yes or no, he will be back.
Yeah.
Broke Down Liar, yes or no, he will be back. Cousins.
Who said that one more time?
Kirk Cousins, will he be back?
Nah.
Kyle Pitts, will he be back?
They got to keep Pitts.
All right, they'll tag him. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Quick about the Hawks here, Dexter.
Okay. Everybody don't remember when the Hawks was balling real quick. The Hawks was balling when they got rid of Dominique with that Ted Tokar thing. When they got rid of Neek, got Danny Manning. Hawk was going to win that championship. A lot of people don't remember that.
Okay, let's talk to me about the let's focus. I appreciate your historical view here, but I really want to kind of focus on the questions of the day. Are we to a point here with Trey where it's in the best interest of Trey and the franchise to strongly consider moving him by February 6th?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say move on because we ain't doing nothing with him right now. Nothing.
Well, yeah, we haven't won since he came back.
We're a terrible team, man. It's a terrible team.
Well, I don't think we're a terrible team. I think we're playing terribly. But I don't think they're. But I also don't think that they're anywhere in the universe of being an NBA champion right now.
No,
they haven't taken a step up. No, they're kind of mired. Like they're just, you know what? They're just their basketball version of the Falcons. They're just mired in mediocrity. They're stuck in the mediocrity wheel.
My point exactly, John. Both teams are just. I don't know what they want to do.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dexter. Thanks for calling in. All right, let's go to Philip here. Sorry, Philip. Sounded like you were trying to knock down a Popeye's sandwich or something. I don't know what's going on. Welcome to the show here, Philip.
Hey, thank you. I am sorry. I've been listening for a while, but I got to get my breakfast.
No, I'm with you. I got mine here too. It's sitting here getting cold, waiting for the commercial break. But go ahead.
I think you and I are about the same age, or of the same age, and. I work every other weekend. One of my guilty pleasures is my breakfast on the way to work on the weekend.
I got
you. Time I can get it. Otherwise, too much cholesterol, too much other stuff. I think you hit it a long time ago when you said it early this morning. We don't think enough about Arthur Blank and the Falcons and everything, Atlanta United, everything else, as a corporate entity. And with corporate entities, you have corporate inertia. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. I'd like somebody to give me a make-believe value of all of Arthur Blank's holdings and how that would rank in the Fortune 500. And then
realize... I mean, he's a billionaire, but I mean, he's not in, the stratosphere of other owners, even in the NFL. He's a billionaire, that's for sure. I mean, but he's not.
So I think he has these pyramids of chains of command of each of these units. And I think sometimes decision-making becomes a consensus as opposed to a final person. Now, he has to make that final decision. And I think he's a fine owner, by the way. And I think he's done a good job. But I think that's part of the issues that we have. What I'd like to have you help me understand, because no one has over the last 2 or 3 years, is I still can't understand how Kirk Cousins, who gave him the medical clearance, or did he get a medical clearance when he came into the Falcons? Or was it, he's going to be okay by mid-season or whatever. And then I look at Michael Penix, and I'm thinking, who decided that he would not be an injury-prone quarterback in the NFL with all the punishment he's going to get?
Yeah, but he hadn't been injured in the previous. He hadn't been injured in the, you know, until he got injured. It had been well over 4 years since he had been injured.
True, but that doesn't mean he wasn't hurt a lot before then. So
yeah, but I mean, if you're a young man and you haven't been injured for 4 years, I'm just thinking that, you know. I mean, look.
Okay.
So I guess I appreciate the call. I got to get to a break here. I appreciate the call, Philip. But thank you for hanging on. Hope you enjoy your breakfast. I mean, so what? We're now Patrick Mahomes has a double, right? So everybody's going to say he's injury prone now, and so you're not going to touch him when he gets healthy. Just ask it, you know. Just coming off it, he's got a, you know, you have MCL and ACL. The guy had double, okay, double. You know, don't touch him. I don't know how that works. Football's a violent game, guys. You know, you heal up, you come back, and we gave up. Brent Grimes blew his Achilles. We said, yeah, we don't want him or his wacky wife, and he went to Miami and was an all-pro. Okay, all right, gotcha. Quick break as we continue here on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Ten 20 on a Sunday morning, triple header of NFL action ahead on 92 on the game. Seahawks Panthers coverage starts at 12:30. Fernando Mendoza Bowl between the Giants and Raiders follows, and then tonight, showdown, big one, in San Francisco between the Bears and the 49ers. 49ers, both 11-4, and if the Panthers beat the Seahawks. Panthers beat the Seahawks. Did they clinch the division? Noel, did they clinch with the win? I don't know if they own the tiebreaker over Tampa.
Yeah, I gotta see if Tampa beat the Seahawks. I don't remember.
I know the Tampa Carolina play on the final day, so it may come down to that. Whether, you know, it may just come down to that game. I don't know. You know, in other words, could the Panthers win today and they would clinch if they won and the Bucs lost to Miami, then they would clinch because they'd be two games up. So it wouldn't matter, but presuming, you know, let's say both the Panthers and Bucks either both win or lose. I don't know that it's probably come down to the final day. I'm not paying a whole lot of attention. Falcons aren't in it. I'm not going to worry about it. 404-726, but apparently I am because I'm talking about it. 404-726-0929. Let's get to your calls. If you're hanging on, just stay there and we'll get to you. Let's go to Casey. He's on with John. Hey Casey, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, John?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, I just want to tell you I appreciate you. You make my Sunday mornings. I drive around, drink two or three lattes, and listen to you, and I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate that. You know, I would drink two or three lattes, but I don't know. I would have to go to the bathroom.
Takes a few to get an old man going.
Excuse me, I got to take a break for the show. But yeah, Noel, handle the show for about 3 minutes. What you got, Casey?
So let's play the game. I'm ready.
Hey, Terry Fontenot back? Yes or no?
Go. No. Gone.
No. Okay. Raheem Morris back? Yes or no?
Gone.
Kirk Cousins back, yes or no?
Maybe.
No, it's
let
yes
me
or
elaborate.
No. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, okay? I just ask, I mean, you can change your answer an hour from now. I'm just asking you for the point of this.
I'll say yes because I'm an optimist.
Okay, and then Kyle Pitts back, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So those are the first votes for Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris to not be back, which, by the way, Casey, may be the correct answer. Again, nobody knows. We're all just guessing. I mean, I know you're guessing too, and you have reasons to guess the way you're guessing, but we can't know what that consulting firm and the evaluations, because nobody can get inside Mr. Blank's head. That's why. So we don't know.
Everybody, we all guess the way we want it to happen. That's how the guessing goes.
Well, I don't know that that's true, because I don't know that I guess that certain people would be back, and maybe I don't know that I want that. I mean, I don't know. I like Raheem a lot on a personal level. I think he's a wonderful man. I do. At this point, I think I voted yes that he will be back. Do I necessarily think that's the best thing? Presuming that he would, get a new offensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator, et cetera, et cetera, which is what I think will happen. Do I necessarily think that's the best thing? The answer to that is no. I don't necessarily think that's the best thing. So I don't really want it to happen.
Well, yeah, that may be true. So I think the only way Kirk comes back is if he does a sweetheart restructure. And I say sweetheart because I know his wife, her family's here, and she kind of wants to stay in Atlanta. I know Kurt is doing God's work down at City of Refuge and a bunch of other places. And so he may want to stay here and might have a motivation to do a restructure that would be amenable to him and the team.
Yeah, and then that's possible. I mean, I can't say that. I guess he's not going to do that. I can't know that. I also can't know, how much he's fallen on his sword, Casey, to Arthur Blank. I mean, Michael Vick had to go a long way, because the one thing that Mr. Blank does not cotton to is lying to him. And the bigger sin for Michael Vick was not Bad News Kennels or going to prison. The bigger sin in their personal relationship was the fact that Michael Vick lied about it. And Michael had to go a long, long, long way to get back off that lie, whatever Mr. Blank said he had to do. But Kirk Cousins lied to Mr. Blank's face. He lied to you, he lied to me, he lied to his teammates, lied to his coaches, lied to Mr. Blank. Lied twice. And so is he willing to fall on a sword there? Because when they released we go in the way back machine. Nothing gets out of Mr. Blank's office. I mean nothing, unless the Falcons want it to. And so the Falcons intentionally leaked the conversation that he had with Kirk Cousins when Kirk went in there and demanded a trade. And Mr. Blank said, we will do what's in the best interest of the team as far as it relates to you. And, of course, they paid him $10 million on a roster bonus. In other words, I'm in total control of you. Have they patched that over? I don't know. You don't know. If they haven't, Mr. Blank is going to look at that guy and say, pound.
Well, and if there's a new regime in here, they would have to want Kirk to even for a restructure to even work. So we don't know what that'll be.
Yeah, we're all guessing. Casey, that's the point. I mean, we're all just giving it our best shot here, and we're all guessing. And so I guess my point to that is when people come up to me, Casey, and they say, Arthur Blank doesn't want to win, I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, Arthur is one of the finest owners we've ever had, because I'm old enough to remember the Clampets, so... we should all appreciate Arthur. That's not where it's happened. Arthur's done everything, spent a lot of money to win. Unfortunately, things just haven't, except for 2016, I mean, things just haven't fallen into place. The stars haven't aligned. And I think he'll get there. I think we just got to stand. He's a great human being and a great owner, and we should appreciate him.
Appreciate it, Casey. Thanks for the call. Enjoy your latte, or two or three. Let's go to BK. He's on with John, 404-726-0929. Hey, BK.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Noel. Happy early New Year to y'all.
Well, thank you for saying, by the way, thank you for saying good morning to Noel. I appreciate that, BK.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But I want to touch on two topics that you talked about this morning, John. I want to touch on the Arthur Blank for a second, and then I want to touch on the Trey Young situation.
All right, go.
But as far as Arthur Blank is concerned, I agree with both sides of the fence, really, on it. But I agree with you when you say Arthur Blank is a good owner. He puts his money where his mouth is. He doesn't mind spending money. to make his team better if he thinks that that's the right thing to do. He puts people in place to make football decisions for him, and he listens to them. And if it sounds right to him, he'll spend the money on whatever. If you ask Arthur Blank to cut a $500 million check right now and guarantee him a Super Bowl, I guarantee you he would do it. So it's not a question of him wanting to win. Now, on the other flip side of that, I do think Arthur Blank has some flaws as an owner. You know what I mean? And I, as far as putting certain people in place, and it's not so much even Terry Fontenot, cause, and this actually goes into the game that you were playing, but Terry Fontenot, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, when Terry Fontenot was with the Saints, he was assistant GM, correct?
Yeah, I don't know what his exact title was. He was director of player personnel or something. I don't know. It was something okay. Like that. He was not the GM. Mickey Loomis, right. He was not the GM.
He was. Got you. So him coming to the Falcons was his first really GM job, official GM job, sitting
correct.
In the GM chair.
Correct.
Right. So when he first took over, I questioned some of the moves that Terry Fontenot made. And, you know, that's him sitting in the chair for the first time. I said, okay. But you know what? I feel like Terry Fontenot has actually grown into the role pretty well. And I actually kind of like some of the moves that he's made, some of the signings that he's made, some of the draft picks that he's made in the last couple of years. Now, last year with Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon and whatever, okay, he tried to address certain needs on their defense by spending some money. I'm going to go get some former Pro Bowlers. Boom, I'm going to put them in there. Falcons fans like that. The front office like that. We felt like, okay, let's see what these guys got. It didn't work out like that. I can't blame Terry Fontenot for not putting in the effort and trying to make this team better. I really think where the blame lies on is the coaching, John. And when I say that, when I look at the roster, and you can disagree with me if you want to on this one, but when I look at the Falcons roster, I feel like the roster is better than half of the other rosters in the league. And I don't see a reason why this roster on paper cannot compete with the upper echelon teams in the NFL, honestly. And I feel like since we have this team in place, it's the coaching that's not leading us to get the most out of the roster that we have. Because I actually like the team. I like the team that we have. I like the players that we have in certain spots. Now, could we use another wide receiver in the room? Yeah. Could we use another cornerback probably in the cornerback room? Yeah. We got to figure out what we're doing at the quarterback position. That goes into your Kirk Cousins thing again with the questions. But I like the team that we have. I just think the leadership, not Arthur Blank, I think the leadership under him is kind of letting us down with the roster that we have. We're underachieving as a football team on the field.
Well, I could have said that, and I would have echoed everything you said, because I've said those very words all season long, that it's always been about the coaching, that Michael Penix has been undercoached, not put in a position to win. I don't think he's any better, when he got injured, much better a quarterback than he was when he first showed up in Flowery Branch a year and a half before. I think he needs better coaching. I have said that I would make a coaching move. I've asked four times on the air. Look, on the air and online, I have not had ever since the debacle against the Carolina Panthers, early in the season, in the shutout loss there. Right. I've said, that it was time to move on from Raheem Morris because this was not going to work. And I advocated, that Todd Monken is the guy I would target to be the new head coach because of his work with Lamar Jackson. And look what Todd Monken did with Derrick Henry. I mean, 216 yards, four times. He didn't even have Lamar.
Yeah.
He leans on a running back.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what we
right, –
wait,
right.
Hang on. Is that what we got? Do we got a running back? Oh, we have a running back.
And we have two. We have two of those.
And when Georgia – when he's at Georgia, did he have running backs coming out the gas station? Right? Was it that Derek Mason's line? Yeah, right? Tom Mugg is a perfect fit, I think, to run this team offensively.
Right. Yeah. No, he would be.
I appreciate
it.
You can hang on here, and we can talk about the Hawks on the other side. I got to take a quick break here, BK. If you're hanging on, stay there. I know sometimes it's a little bit of a long wait, but be patient. I trust you're a guest, not a caller. That's why you get to talk here, but you will be on the air. John Fricke.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake.
delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This song is like 51 years old. I'm 65. This song was a hit when I was in eighth grade. Not that I was smoking in the boys' room. In eighth grade. Puff, puff, pass, pass. Yeah, pretty much. You know, as you get older, this will probably blow you away, Noel. But I graduated from Lithonia High, right, 1978. Go Dogs, go. I was in the old high school downtown. Do you know that in 1978, in my senior year, that seniors could smoke at school?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a smoking court, and we could smoke. But you had to be a senior. Juniors and sophomores were not. No, but seniors could smoke. It's cool.
What a perk.
We'd have said, teach. You got to go out to, you know, we don't have to smoke in the boys' room. We just go out to the courtyard, smoke break. Yeah. No, it's absolutely 100% true. I kid you not. Yeah, times are different back then, back in 1978. 404-726-0929. If you're hanging on, I promise I'll get you on the air. BK wanted to make a quick point about the Hawks, so he held through the break. Hey, BK, welcome back to the show. What was it about? My question about the Hawks is, is it time for us to say, okay, this just is not going to work for Trey or for us, and it's time. Trade deadline's February 6th. It pains me, but it's time to make the.
Yeah, and I'm with you, John. And look, I'm gonna preface it by saying, look, I'm a Trae Young fan. I like Trae Young.
Me too.
He's giving time moments in the playoffs and whatnot. And you know, even after our 60 win team, you know, we didn't really have a face on that team. We had a bunch of good players, but we didn't really have a face of the franchise. And when Trae Young came, he kind of became that. But it's just not working at this point. I'm a Trae Young fan, but I'm a Hawks fan though. I'm a Trae Young fan because I'm a Hawks fan. And if Trae Young got traded tomorrow, I'd still be watching the Hawks. I wouldn't be watching Trae Young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. So, I love the man. I think I appreciate it. But if this is not going to work, then we just got and by the way, that's got to be fair to him too.
Yeah. And it hasn't worked in different variations of the team too. It's not just,
right.
You know, we tried one
Correct.
Time. This hasn't worked in different forms. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just the eye test, John, just the eye test, because I watch pretty much every Hawks game, just the eye test, watching it on the floor. They just play different when he's not on the floor. And there's no disrespect to him at all. But they just play different. They look like a different team when he's not on the floor, especially when Jalen Johnson is healthy and he's playing. They just look different. The ball flows more. They play defense. Of course, Trae Young scored 30 points the other night. Great. But we gave up 150 and we lost. You know what I mean?
No,
so,
I know.
You know, it cancels each other out, you know?
So, yeah, appreciate it, BK. Yeah, thanks much. I got to move along here. Yeah, this is one of the questions I had. I had four questions for you. You know, can you deter in the playoffs? Because I can't. I know George is hot. But, is there somebody that you're eyeing and saying, that team's absolutely the favorite? Wide open, and the only team that would shock me, shock is a big, big word here. I think the only team that would surprise me if they were standing there at the end holding up the national title trophy in Miami is Ole Miss. Not because Lane Kiffin left, but because of all the teams, I just think that, you know, they have probably the toughest road and all that. Let's go to Kevin here. Also talking about Trae Young and whether it's time to go ahead and really have that conversation. And, of course, about the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, Noel, how you doing?
I am doing good, man. Appreciate it.
Good. So I have a question for you, John. When was the last time the Falcons played a whole season with the same quarterback playing start every single game?
Well, I mean, without looking, it was probably Ryan's last year, correct?
Right. When was the last time a quarterback for the Falcons threw over 20 touchdowns?
Cousins didn't have 20 last year?
No, he had 18.
Okay. Probably Ryan's last year then.
My point exactly. We have not had consistency at the most important position on the field. And that's the quarterback position. I mean, I love Penix. I think Penix is going to, you know, become a better player. We can put the blame on Zach Robinson, but why has the offense looked so much better with Kirk opposed to Penix?
Has it?
I mean,
the legit question, has it really looked better with Kirk?
I honestly feel like it does. I mean, Penix has thrown 9 touchdowns this year. I think Kurt is at, what, 7? And he hasn't played the same amount of games.
I think it looks the
same. Am I right or am I right?
Between the two.
It looks about the same. Okay, how about
– I mean, because I both have had highs and lows, right? I mean, we'll just take this year. Or, I mean, if you want to go back to last year too. Both have had highs and lows, right? I mean, Penix threw – Penix was a quarterback in a game where they got beat 30-0. That's a low. But Cousins was a quarterback in a game where they didn't break 9 points in 7-9 when they got run out of the building at home by Miami, and got destroyed by Seattle. He was the quarterback of that. I mean, so that's how Kirk Cousins, and both had big wins where, you know, Penix had a game where he threw for like 313, 315 yards. I mean, I think it looks the same to me. You go back to last year, and I think you can do highs and lows of Kirk, and highs and lows, I mean, they both led, you know, comeback wins. Kirk had a comeback win in Philadelphia on the road, and then Penix had a comeback win with a missed field goal in Washington against Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think, quite frankly, I think they've been the same.
I mean, and that's fair, and that's a fair assessment. But my whole thing is when I looked at the offense in the beginning of the season where I saw, like, a lot of the delayed games, getting out of the huddle and stuff like that earlier in the season, I haven't seen that over the last few weeks. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I think to me it's just we can sit here and split hairs on, you know, on different things. I guess that's not really the point here. The point is because it doesn't really matter. The question is so let me just let's play the game. Okay, I'm going to play the game with you.
Okay.
Ready? Yes or no? Terry Fontenot back? Yes or no?
Yes.
Raheem Morris back, yes or no?
I mean, from what's out there, I mean, right now, yes. I mean, unfortunately, yes.
Broke down liar, Kirk Cousins back, yes or no?
If he can work the deal, if you could screech.
No, they're just that, because you can't presume anything. They would just pick up his third deal, okay? I'm not talking about reworking, that they're going to pay him $57.5 million.
No, heck no.
Okay. And Kyle Pitts back, yes or no?
Of course. Franchise tag.
Well, I don't think I think they'll just tag him. It'll be 1 year. Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what kind, because they have multiple tag options. It'll be interesting to see what kind of tag they put on him. I agree with you. I think Terry Fontenot's back. I think Raheem at this point is back, but that could change. I think there are going to be major changes to the coaching staff. And I think Kirk Cousins is gone because they don't want to eat $57.5 million, because we can't presume to know. I mean, one caller's like, well, his wife loves it here. Like, who knows? I mean, maybe she really is sitting and running, I want to go back to Minnesota. I don't like it. You don't know that. We don't know this. How could you possibly know that? I mean, because she said so publicly. Well, people say a lot of things publicly, but they say, and then they close the door and go, you know, they say, I really like this guy. And then they close the door and go, that son of a beehive, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, say a lot of things publicly that aren't true.
I've heard Mike say this on the morning shift. Okay, you fire Raheem. Who are you going to hire? And when they come in, are they going to, like, they're going to, the first question they're going to ask is, who's going to be my quarterback? You get what I'm saying? So,
well, yeah, because we don't know the status of Michael Penix, correct?
Exactly. So that's why I'm just saying, you might as well bring Raheem back, because I don't know the coaching cycle for this. I don't know, you know, wait for next year. Maybe a good coach mess around and gets fired you know, the weight.
Well, in my world, I know that some people are saying, you know, you need to bring in a proven head coach. You mean like Pete Carroll? How's that worked out for? Okay.
No. yeah, I know what you mean.
So, in my world, I think, you know, this is why I look. There's Joe Brady. There's other options there. I'm big on Todd Monken, and the reason I'm big on Todd Monken was his work with Lamar Jackson and how that might translate to his work with, you know, his work with Stetson Bennett, for example, his work with Michael Penix. And then, again, you just looked at yesterday with no Lamar Jackson, and he leans on a running back in Derrick Henry, and he explodes on the Packers for 216 and four TDs. Like, we don't have a running back here. I think Monken was leaning on running backs when he was at UGA. I think that kind of all works. To me, everybody says, hey, listen, you got to go get the UGA guys to come down from Athens to help the Falcons, right? I think the UGA guy that you need to come down and help is that dude. It's Todd Monken.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you on that. Because I love running the football. People think running the football is dead, but look what the Eagles did last year with Saquon. That's all they did was run the football. You know, of course, they passed with Jalen here and there, but mostly it was running the football. He had over 2,000 yards. So I agree with you in that aspect. We need to lean on the run.
By the way, to that point, and I'm sorry to step on you there, but to that point, there may be a decision as to whether or not you're going to bring Tyler Allgeier back and tag him. Everybody seems to think he's gone. I don't know that that's a done deal. They may say, you know what, we're going to tag Tyler too. Because the 1-2 punch here to keep Bijan fresh is too important. It's too valuable to us.
It is very valuable because you can spell Bijan. Whenever, you know, when Bijan wears out that defense doing all the juking and stuff like that, Tyler Allgeier just comes and just lays the smack down. And DBs don't want to tackle that, especially when it gets cold outside. You know, even though we play in a dome, but regardless, you know, we go on the road, you don't want to tackle that on the road, you know, in the cold. You don't want to tackle that.
You don't want to tackle that if you can get your hands on it. You know, that's the other thing. Do appreciate it. Thanks much. We'll go move along here. Live till 12:30 today. Let's go to Josiah, who's on with John. Hey, Josiah, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, man.
Long-time listener. I've been listening to you guys since 92.9 The Game started, missing you and Hugh in the mornings. But I wanted to harken back to some of the earlier callers about harping on Blank for not wanting to win. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. There is nobody on this planet that wants to win more than Blank does. And to say otherwise is just ignorant. I mean, there's no one more invested. So I don't know where that's coming from, but
I know, but a lot of people say it. I try to tell them. The only advantage I have in this discussion is, unlike you, I've met the man, sat down, talked to him face to face on multiple occasions. Not sitting here saying we're friends, but you get to measure somebody when you have conversations with them. So my opinion of Arthur. I've talked to him on many occasions, is that he wants to win in the worst way. And he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. He's got to have some better decisions. Maybe that's why this consulting company, which, you know, helped out with Atlanta United in the determination to bring in Tata Martino back and to make the changes United has made and helped out with the NWSL decision to go ahead and move forward with the NWSL franchise. Maybe they can, you know, help him with the Falcons. You know, he just needs another voice in the room.
Absolutely. Wrong voices in the room, clearly, so far. As of late, anyways, you know, and if Blank didn't want to win, why would we be on a coaching carousel? Why would we be firing coaches after 3 years? Why would he have gotten rid of Dan Quinn? He wasn't producing. That's the only reason.
Correct. And neither was Arthur Smith. And neither is Raheem, sadly. I hate being on this coaching wheel. It's less critical in the NFL than it is in college. You get on the coaching wheel in college, and you got recruiting. You don't have recruiting in the NFL, but
I'm with you.
But I will say, look at the impact that Leon Coham had. Well, thanks for the call, Josiah. I got to get to a break. Look at the impact that Leon Coham had, not only on Jacksonville and turning Jacksonville into that team that suddenly they are, but his impact on Tampa and being gone from Tampa. Let's not forget that there's a loss there too. Liam Cohen leaving Tampa was a net loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's obvious. Look at their record. I mean, the Falcons should have beat them twice, right? And then you look at what Ben Johnson's impact has been, and negatively to the Lions, who are now out of the playoffs, and positively to the Bears, who are 11-4. That's Todd Monken, okay, guys? That's who it is. Arthur, you can drop sport, Mr. Blank, drop Sportology. Invite me to dinner. Let me talk you into why Todd Monken needs to be the coach of the team. It'll be a net loss for the Ravens and a net positive for us. All right, top of the hour, 11 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.